Welcome to McGuire on the Wire, where you'll discover top stories and strategies in specialty tax broken down by our experts. You'll also meet leaders from across the firm who will discuss McGuire Sponsel's approach to common challenges faced by our clients.
Hi, I'm Dave McGuire. In today's episode, I talk with Jason Rao, principal in our Global Business Services practice. Jason is an expert on international compliance, and he shares the basics of international compliance, our team's approach, and client challenges we often encounter. Enjoy the episode. Jason, thank you for joining us today.
Glad I could be here. Thank you.
So, Jason, a lot of people that work with McGuire Sponsel haven't met you yet.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into international tax consulting and compliance work.
Sure. So I've been doing this for more than 20 years, worked with different firms, big four firms, companies. Most recently was a VP of tax at a large global automotive supplier. And I've known McGuire Sponsel, been here about 3 months, and I've loved every minute of it. It's been great working with CPA firms and their clients, and been doing international tax my whole career and just fell in love with it. I always thought it was good job security, and able to do a lot of things to help companies and clients and individuals even.
We said we were going to talk about international compliance.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we mean by that? Or is this, hey, you're helping fill out a tax return for the UK, or is there something different about it? What are we doing there?
So what we're focused on, in your example, is we don't typically do the compliance in the foreign countries, but in the U.S., we have a worldwide tax system, so there's a lot of reporting that needs to be done on your U.S. tax return when you own foreign entities or have foreign activity. So when we refer to international compliance, we're referring to the forms that get filed with your U.S. tax return to report international activities, whether that's ownership in a foreign company or owned by a foreign company, for example. Both of those are required to be reported on the U.S. tax return.
So how far-reaching is that? Is that any company that has sales overseas, or is that companies that have operations overseas? Tell me a little bit about what types of companies should be talking about this.
So typically it's companies that have operations overseas, specifically if they have ownership in foreign entities. However, there are rules where if you have enough activity in a foreign country, you could have requirements as well that pop up, including foreign bank accounts if you have those, or other situations that would require international compliance activities.
Now, for U.S. companies that we're working with, is that any foreign country, or is it specific foreign countries that might have differing tax laws? Tell me a little bit more about who should be concerned about it.
Yeah, I would say any company should be concerned about it. There's no limitation on where you operate as far as compliance requirements in the U.S. for those operations. And it can be as simple as simple ownership, or it can be a very complicated structure with different transactions amongst entities. So any company that's operating outside the U.S. should investigate whether they have requirements or not, and then figure out how to comply with the rules. And any company that's owned by a foreign entity would also have similar things that should be analyzed to make sure the compliance is current.
I know McGuire Sponsel, we typically work through CPA firms.
Right.
So when it comes to compliance, obviously most of the time when we think about compliance, we think about the CPA firms doing a large portion of the compliance. Tell me a little bit more about how the international compliance works with CPA firms.
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we found so far is a lot of CPA firms, given the technical nature and some of the exposures, international compliance, aren't terribly comfortable doing it. And so we can come in and help their clients by doing the international compliance, and we have different models that we can operate under. One of them is that we just do a turnkey solution. So we prepare and review often right inside their compliance software systems, and then they can just do, say, the federal return using our information right and file right directly with the IRS. So it's a very simple way to operate. We try to work with our clients, CPA firm clients, so it's easy to work with us, and that's one of the ways we can do that, is to just plug in where they have holes or discomfort and just help them get their clients filed properly.
So really we're just supporting them where they don't want to get involved, but we're not coming in and saying, if you want to do all of it, we're going to take it over. It's not a one-size-fits-all mentality.
Correct, yeah. And some CPA firms even want us to give what I call a once-over or a gut check or a sleep-at-night test and just take a look at what they're doing and see if there are issues or exposures that we might see, and then we work from there on how to solve those problems if there are any.
Now, obviously, in recent years, a lot of things changed over recent years. Whether we're going back to the PATH Act of 2015, obviously we had the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2017, which I know a lot of people, before they read it, called it tax simplification, and then they read it and realized nothing really got simplified. Exactly. And then we've been talking a little bit about tax changes with the potential of the Build Back Better, which obviously at the time we're recording this is pretty stalled out.
Right, yep.
Do these changes, are they making this international compliance, are they making it simpler or more complicated, or is it staying pretty even?
It's getting significantly more complicated, and I'll use an example of a common form. It's Form 5471 that's filed. And those used to be as simple as 4 pages, and now I've seen them as complicated as 20. And there's just a lot of additional compliance burden. And really, where the rubber meets the road is making sure that you understand what should be complied with, and then make sure it's complied properly. Because there's a lot of times that if you don't have expertise in the area, you just don't keep up with all the changes, and then you end up filing things that were should have been filed like they were 3 years ago, and now it's different, for example. And just that's part of kind of that refresher, that gut check that some CPA firms like us to go through.
Wow. So a 20-page form to fill out, is that for every country that they're working in, or is that just one and then it covers all the countries that they're in?
It's one for each. It's based on entities. So if they have 5 entities in different countries or the same country, doesn't matter, you could have one of those forms for each one of those entities.
And I'm assuming with globalization and companies moving around the world, this is getting even more complicated as companies are increasing their supply chains and building different manufacturing plants, et cetera.
Absolutely. And then you have the transactions between those entities that also have to be investigated. So it's very, it can be very complicated. And even the smallest of companies are expanding overseas to follow client bases or customers or whatever the case is. So the issue is it doesn't have to be a significant operation. If you own entities in a foreign country, you automatically have this requirement. There's no have to be so large type situation before you have to comply.
Jason, you mentioned in one of your answers, just in case anyone's listening that doesn't know, can you just briefly explain what a transfer pricing study is?
Sure. So a transfer pricing study documents pricing between related entities when anything crosses a border, whether it's a service, a good, a loan. Those are really the transactions that then say, okay, how am I going to document the amounts I'm putting on an invoice? And that's what a transfer pricing study does. And then it's used to support should you have an audit on the U.S. side or the foreign country side.
And so let me ask you a question. Let's say I have a client and I don't know they have foreign operations because they're not, and I wish that CPAs always knew everything that their clients were doing, but
right.
So let's say they've had a foreign operation. They've had it for a few years now and they just never told me about it. What do I need to do to fix that compliance?
Yeah, so there's typically in that scenario, there's the amended return route where you file what needs to be filed, calculate what needs to be included in the tax return. Unfortunately, in your situation you just described, there's often current taxable income that should have been included that wasn't. And so not only is it a reporting issue, but it's actually a taxable income issue. So it can snowball into a very complicated situation very quickly.
And that's something you can help with and actually help walk through and untangle it so that the client can figure out where it is, but also the CPA.
Correct. And that's really what we try to do, is we try to do, I'll call it consulting on the front end, to figure out what needs to get done, work with the CPA firms to make sure compliance gets done, and then follow up to make sure everybody understands what's going on. Kind of try to help from A to Z on that regard.
So I guess that brings up a question. And this is more anecdotal based on your experience.
Mm-hmm.
But with the companies you see, are most people aware of all of the international compliance, or is, if you were to poll 10 different companies that had some type of international compliance issue, is it average that some of them are going to be missing something?
I would say it's very likely that out of 10, some of them will be missing some. And I think it's probably more in the regard of they don't file everything that should be filed. Maybe they're filing what they thought was the requirements 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, but now there's more and they just haven't kept up with the additional burden. And that's more where you see a lot of the gaps.
Why would a company just do things as best they can and not pay somebody to do the compliance? Is it just the cost of it? What's holding people back from doing it?
I think cost is part of it. I think maybe fear of the unknown is part of it. But the reality is that some of the penalties for non-filing can be very significant, and the IRS is getting better and better at coming back with automatic penalty notices that show up on clients' doorsteps, and it can be shocking for everybody. So it's really important to to take the time, to take the initiative, to figure out what needs to be done, make sure it's been done right, fix what needs to be fixed, and just really take a proactive approach as opposed to a reactive approach.
Now, by now we all know, obviously, funding issues at the IRS, whether mm-hmm. it's just the lack of seeing audits right now, or if it's, I call the IRS and nobody's there to answer the phone.
Right.
On the international side, do they have people that understand a lot of these things, or is it something that, it, just like everywhere else, it's understaffed and under-knowledge?
I would say it is understaffed. However, in the international area, based on some of the political rhetoric, there's a lot of focus on that. A lot of the tax law that was come under President Trump was focused on international operations, so there's a heightened level of awareness. And I would also say that the computer systems at the IRS are actually starting to get a lot more sophisticated. They can generate these automatic penalty notices, and they can be significant, tens of thousands of dollars. So it's very easy for the IRS to generate revenue with an automated process.
Now, let's say I've never talked to you before. I've never talked to anybody on the international compliance side, and I get one of those notices. Mm-hmm. Should the first thing I do just to agree with everything on it, pay something, or should I be picking up the phone and calling somebody like you just to see if it's all legitimate, or maybe the IRS is overstating that missing amount?
Yeah, I would say that it'd be worth a phone call. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. There's some of the, again, these Form 5471s I refer to. If you leave a schedule blank, the IRS's system will pick that up as non-compliant, as opposed to if you put a zero in, it'll pick up at least a number and check it off as done. So there's some ways that take a look at what was actually filed, what should have been filed, take a look at the notice and make sure there's not kind of an understanding of what happened versus technically what was on the piece of paper. So it definitely is worth a phone call.
Now, by now a lot of people have heard you talking about the Form 5471, mm-hmm. and I know people have heard us talking about transfer pricing studies right. and everything else. Now, what if a client filed that 5471 but has never done the transfer pricing study that goes along with it? What's kind of the next step?
Yeah, so that could be an exposure. There's a specific schedule on 5471 where you tell the IRS all your intercompany transactions they're referred to. And similarly, if you're foreign-owned, there's another form, 5472, that has the same schedule where you file exactly and let the IRS know intercompany transactions. So if there's been no transfer pricing study done to support the pricing, there is an exposure on whether or not you're actually within what's referred to as arm's length pricing. And that's what our transfer pricing documentation does, is establishes that pricing and then confirms whether or not you are in the range. And if so, great. If not, then maybe we need to do some planning to make sure that you're in the range so you're supportable under the documentation.
Now, you mentioned this is any person that's doing work overseas, has mm-hmm. foreign subsidiaries, et cetera. Are there certain countries or certain areas of the world that the U.S. government is really pushing that compliance a little bit more for, or is it really anywhere?
It's really anywhere, but I would say there's a few countries that typically have problems, and those would be Brazil, China, Canada, India. Those are really some hot buttons, especially in the transfer pricing area. The foreign governments particularly are very aggressive in those countries. So if you're doing operations in those countries, have the reporting, have already reported intercompany transactions, you're already theoretically on the radar screen, I would highly recommend that something is at least looked at to determine whether or not a study is needed to support what you're doing. But those are some countries that come to mind that are typically very difficult to deal with.
Are there dollar amounts when it starts making sense? For example, let's say I have a foreign subsidiary and they're based in Canada. Mm-hmm. But really it's not making any money. It's not really doing a whole lot. I set it up. It's kind of a shell company that's sitting there. Do I still need to do something, or is there a dollar amount threshold in either sales or income where it starts making more sense?
I would say in your example, it probably doesn't because the transactions are probably limited. I would say a lot of it is a risk tolerance question, the specific company, where they are on that continuum. It's very difficult to try to determine an amount, but I would say if you're in the hundreds of thousands to millions of range, it definitely is worth it. And it's not really, a lot of people think, expensive. I think, in my personal opinion, it's a very reasonable approach to get some, not only comfort, but perhaps some planning opportunities as well through those transfer pricing studies.
Now, with the international compliance and the transfer pricing studies and the things that we're doing here at McGuire Smonsel, if I'm a CPA firm mm-hmm. and I want to expand my client base,
right.
Are we doing anything to assist people in the marketing of these services and just education so that they can go after those new clients that maybe have international operations that maybe are out of compliance with these services.
Right. So part of our goal and strategy is to help CPA firms, what I call, move up market to get to those larger companies. And in order to do that, we have and will continue to provide training. We help them look through and understand. We even take part in proposal situations, whether it's literally at the table or behind the scenes. We're very flexible, but really trying to provide our expertise to help CPA firms move up market to those larger clients, because it helps everybody when mm-hmm. that happens.
Well, thank you. Hopefully this was enjoyable to everyone. Jason, thank you for joining me today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you have any questions about international compliance, reach out to Jason directly. His contact info can be found in the show notes.
This has been McGuire on the Wire. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on social @McGuireSponsel to get more industry news and firm updates.